Our Father God, we praise you and continue to praise you, Lord, for your mercy, your goodness to us, your might and power manifested to us, your kind consideration, Lord, showered upon us. We thank you, Lord, that we are the recipients of all that is supposed to come upon the world. Everything climaxes in this hour, and we would not want to miss anything, Lord. We'd want to be fortified for that which vessels must be fortified to have the greater glory. Lord, help us, we pray. We may not shun anything which would bring us into that place of satisfaction to you, Lord, that we'd be pronounced vessels of honor, O God, and we would stand, Lord, every stress and everything that comes upon the earth because of thy grace and thy goodness, Lord, and be not only just approved of you, Lord, from the fact that we are elect, but also to manifest thy great approval by conforming to all of your will, to all of your word. Help us tonight to study, Lord, with hearts that are delighting in the word, want to know, in order to understand, in order to obey, to be a complete part of our whole hearts involved, our whole minds and lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're, of course, into the second portion of Knoweth It Not, and you recall that Brother Branham went into the third chapter of the book of Revelation in order to read about the Laodicean church, which it is said concerning her that because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. And he took as his course the subject, and knoweth it not. Now, he, of course, is using the woman as a type of the church. As he said, if you want to know the condition the church is in, you look at the condition woman is in. If you want to know where the church is at, you look where the woman is at. He said, if you want to know the calendar, the time we're at, then you look where the Jews are. And taking the principle that you look at the woman in order to know about the church, he begins saying certain things about the woman that is not very complimentary. Indeed, it cannot be, because it is set forth in type. And we realize, of course, that just the same as the woman is a type of all that is bad, that is the vessel of all that is bad, she's also the type of the vessel of all that is good. So you understand what we're dealing with. It's not denigrating woman. It is using the type and showing exactly the condition the church is in. Now, he begins with decrying women preachers. That means the obedient woman preacher. We see a lot of them. Soul-winning, teacher, missionary, loving evangelist, is anti-word, anti-Christ, disobedient to God, a tool of Satan, and a disgrace to her maker. Now that sounds pretty rough. Because what you're looking at is everything that looks to be fantastically wonderful and is fantastically horrible. Now remember that when John saw the end time church, I don't think he saw Roman Catholic Church as you and I know it under the Dark Ages and coming out under the conditions of the Inquisition and all of that. I believe it's far worse because it's strictly spiritual death. But he saw a beautiful church and he was amazed and he was in wonderment as to the condition of the church, which was so beautiful, it was so filthy. Now, that's what we're looking at. Now, believe it or not, this woman, as Brother Branham said, and the woman, we're taking her as the type, this woman, the woman, and the church, is fashioned by the devil. Now, if you just stop and think, that everything in the economy of God is mimicked and is perverted by the enemy. Now, in the economy of God, Christ was fashioned by God. Then what was fashioned by Satan? Well, all you've got to do is to know you go back to the garden. Because Jesus Christ, though not in the image of Adam, was certainly related to Adam in the understanding that his lineage was traced back to Abraham, but remember, Abraham was traced back to Adam. And as Adam is the federal head of one group, so is Christ the federal head of the other. That's some type of theology they use by calling it federal headship. All right. Remember, God fashioned Adam. Then, of course, Eve was brought in after the original creation. And we find that the woman was fashioned by Satan, and therefore the church is fashioned by Satan. Because the woman is a church. So therefore, as Brother Branham said, Satan has a church. It's full of Satan worshipers, and they do not practice necromancy, nor do they sacrifice animals and kill people, but worship a Trinity. They speak with tongues and prophesy and have all outward appearances of true believers. Inwardly, they are anointed of Satan. outwardly, they are anointed to God. They're anointed by Satan, anointed to Satan. They are outwardly anointed by God and to God. But this is the perfect picture of the hypocrite, the make-believer, the wolf in sheep clothing, the false prophet, the false teacher, the false professor, all fivefold ministry being false, and the adherence thereof being false also. Anointed to Satan by Satan inwardly. Outwardly, the anointing is of God and to God. Strange as it sounds and forms a paradox, it doesn't need to be a paradox if you just realize that in gifts and in all these other things that are brought to our attention, such as, I would say, ministries, and such as even fruit and character and all of those things, there is one spirit behind it. Just one. Now remember, one spirit and one alone. But when it comes to the word, there are two spirits. One's a God, one's a devil. Satan can't handle the word. He can imitate and impersonate everything else. Brother Brandon said so, and it's true. Some of the finest men that ever lived or will live, as long as time goes on, will be marvelous monuments to the grace of Almighty God, and falsely so. Complete hypocrites. Now, you do what you want about it, but that's the way cookie crumbles. That's the prophet's teaching. This is what people don't want. They simply can't stand it. Well, they say, I'm a wonderful fellow. Come on. His name is wonderful. There's nobody else can compete. They're always in competition. I'm going to tell you something. Let's get this flat. The devil's in competition with God. And every time you see competition, you see the devil. God is not in competition. Ha! He should be in competition. He's sovereign. Sovereignty doesn't have competition. It has submission.
Amen.
That's why there's subjection at the end of this age. The King of Kings is in our midst. Not yet with his physical structure of the human body, which he will have when we see him in his glorified form in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what will happen? We will crown him King of Kings. Not that we will make him king, but that he is king. Sovereignty. Sovereignty. And down here, the Antichrist with his three-tiered crown, the great tiara. And these lovely diamonds, which will melt when the fire comes. He'll be putting on his show, and we will come down and eyeball him. Oh, yes. Now, don't ever forget, according to Scripture, as Brother Branham brought out, there were three times that women messed the race up. Not counting the number one time when she cohabited with the serpent and brought forth Cain and desecrated the marriage, her relationship to her husband, to God, to humanity, to the earth, and everything sacred. There was a second time, or the first time apart from that, is Genesis 6, where the sons of God, so that's just ordinary people in the bloodline of Adam, they were true human beings, which they were, saw the daughters of men. And they took them wives until the whole human race was a mess, except one person which was genetically human, a true human being. That was Noah. And then God destroyed the earth. Number two is when Israel began to marry into the profane Gentile people, the heathen. This brought forth the original bastard. Illegitimacy was not to begin with two unmarried people getting into a sexual position which brought forth a child, but was a legitimate marriage. As Brother Branham said, this was not adultery, this was marriage. Church symbolizes union. Marriage symbolizes union. Men messed up with women. Brother Branham said Israel couldn't stand those true Israelite women that had character. Their hair may be a little bit messy with the perspiration, the hard work they were doing. Their hands soiled from coming and working in the field. their hard, hard toil, and they saw these lovely fluces. Dressed up, flaunting themselves, and of course, the character didn't matter much in the face of sexuality, and they destroyed the race. Nehemiah and Ezra tried to do something about it, they couldn't do it. And in the last time Brother Branham speaks of, the women are in worse shape than ever. And you'll notice that this is true because until very recently there were peoples whose women did acknowledge a certain position of morality which was visible through their conduct and the visible parts, dress, and what they did and all, but they are fast going by the board, and I don't know if there's anything but a very small percentage left. Now, Brother Branham continued talking about the woman, linking it to the church, and he said, now, let's just talk about this as an illustration. He said, there's a Baptist lady, and of course, they believe in eternal security without being secured in the first place. You know, when you haven't dropped your anchor to ride out the storm and you think you've got an anchor dropped, you're in trouble. The Baptists are that way. They think they're born again and they're not. Too bad, but that's the truth. Now, this woman, he said, she's married to a nice fella, and he's quite an intelligent person and quite a liberal, and they go to church, but he goes out of town on business, and she meets one of her old flames, and she has no problem literally shacking up with him. The Methodist lady, who is a good prohibitionist, that's just about as far as she got. She got more morals, of course. And she sees this woman carrying on, and she says, now that woman is a prostitute to her husband, not knowing that the way she carries on, she's a prostitute to her husband too, though she isn't engaged in a physical relationship with other men as the Baptist is. Why? Because she goes with shorts and halters. She thinks nothing of going to the swimming pool without men and all. She thinks nothing of exposing herself. Which, if a woman isn't man bait, you tell me what is. I've never thought a horse was too good to look at. I just confessed for the whole bunch of you. I've never thought a dog was anything too great to look at. Ah, they make nice pets and nice conveyances and conveniences. But I'm going to tell you flatly, as Brother Branham said, a woman proportioned and visible. And she lets you know, maybe she's not even aware of it, that she's a very enticing person, and she is a very enticing person. And he said, any male that's adjusted physically, and I'm just talking now in the sense of the physical, sees anything like that, is going to do something with his bloodstream, and you better believe it. Now, this woman can say what she wants. But the scripture says she's committing adultery with every man that lusts after her because she presented herself. Now let's face it, a lot of women don't present themselves when they're lusted after. They're off the hook. They're off the hook. Now, Brother Branham asked the question, and he says, now, why is this going on anyway? He said, what does this? What is there in these two women as human beings? And what is going on in the church? Because we're looking at the type. All right? He said, all right, man is a triunity. He's a body and a spirit and a soul. Concentric circles. I guess that's what you call it, concentric. You've got one center. You got these three loops. Now, the outer is the human structure, which is contacted and fed, enlivened, enlightened by five senses, which we know what they are. The spirit inside also has five, which are love and reason and and this, I forget all the rest. And inside is the soul, which also has five others, of which would be worship, and so on. And faith, and what have you. Now, that's, I don't memorize them too much. Brother Branham was simply quoting Dr. Larkin, who could be perfectly right. I'm not too interested. I'm not too interested in how many senses or channels lie within each. But I am interested in a prophet telling us that there was a time that he agreed with other men. That it was body, soul, and spirit, but to find through revelation, it is not body, soul, and spirit, it is body, spirit, and soul, which puts the spirit next to the body, you see, which means that the spirit is next in line and the soul is furthest in. In other words, then, the real person would not be the spirit. The real person would be the soul. You say, why? Because the prophet explained by divine revelation that when a woman gives birth to a baby, that baby in coming down is simply motivated through a pulsation which is not a true person in the sense of being a complete person, because the spirit's missing. And as the baby drops down, there is a spirit waiting, which is permitted and given of God, but not of God. In other words, it is not God's Holy Spirit. It is simply that which has been created. I mentioned last week, Brother Branham intimated that it couldn't have something to do with those angels which were created, of which a third of them fell. I don't know, and I care less again, because I just don't know where to take it and what to do about it. Because as I look at it, if there was one third of the angels fell, and there's billions of unsaved that never, you know, well, then, if only one third fell, there's got to be a whole lot more good angels than bad angels, and this and that makes no difference. What do you say? Well, does that spirit recur? I don't, you see, if it makes my mind go bluey, I don't have an answer. But I do know this, that person being born, then when that body comes down, where that life and animation begins to take place. Now, Brother Branham categorically said, he said, the soul was the real you. Now, he said, I was in my father as my son was in me. Now, he said, that is a gene of God, and he said that in our case, in other cases, it is not a gene of God, but it is a gene that is passed down the parent, which means categorically, in my understanding, there is a natural election whereby the true election in the spiritual realm takes place. Because if that wasn't so, foreordination and election would be a dismal failure because there'd be no predestination. And predestination means what began must have a fulfillment. And that fulfillment is in the flesh, which is a manifestation. All right. He says, now here is the thing. That woman that's a Methodist, she goes by the book of the church. That's all she knows. She knows the church and what it says, and that's her ultimate. And the church says it's okay. if you smoke, that's all right. The church says it's okay if you just wear a halter, a bra, and a pair of panties, whatever you're going to wear, a little bathing suit. It's okay if you cut your hair. It is okay if you wear slacks. The church condones all those things. See? That has become her ultimate. And there is nothing in that soul. There is no gene from God, no representation that when the Word comes, it reaches for the Word, it reaches for the creed and the dogma. Now the other woman, and I'm not saying she's Baptist. I'm talking about a born-again woman. That woman and that man, because the husbands of those women have the same problem. That's why the men let their wives do those things. That's why they don't say, now hold it, you just don't do that around here. No, how many husbands do we know, or at least we've heard of, let's face it, we don't know too many because we're not in that crowd. But if we were out there looking around, we would find multitudes of husbands who positively will say, I want my wife to cut her hair, I want the rouge and the lipstick, I want the slacks and those things, and I want the short dresses. Our son was that way, he had to repent on his deathbed. He liked his wife almost up to the crotch. And so when they were married, he married the second time. Although she's a beautiful girl, the Baptist preacher, his eyes bugged out. You could knock him off with a stick. And all he could talk of was the beautiful girl she was. Right? He caught right a sex spirit on the girl. Like he had one himself, no doubt. Now, I wasn't happy the fact she was that way. That's our son wanted that way. But he died. I believe he paid an awful big price for his folly. A lot of men want their wives that way. I'm going to tell you something. A man wants his wife that way, he'll pay a bigger price than she will, I believe. Because he should know better. You say, why? Because he was made first. If there's a woman, there's always the weaker vessel. And when a man encourages a weaker vessel, there's something wrong with it. All right, let's take a look at those people then. No doubt this fine young man encouraged his Baptist wife to be a very much of a socialite, the same as he was. They're boozing and all. And so if she's shacking up with Ralph, who knows, he might be shacking up with Mary. Or Georgina, or some princess down the road. But it seemingly is all right. Now, the other two, they're not doing that. But they got the same problem. They'll end up in the same hell in the same place. Why? Because there's no representation from the beginning in the soul. Now, that's the way this world church is. Remember, the seed was grafted in. The limbs were grafted in. And remember, the seed was sown after the original seed went out. And there never has been a child of God foreordained that was lost, And there never has been a serpent seed that's ever going to be saved. The blood of Jesus Christ does not avail for anyone but those that were with him in the beginning. Now, Brother Branham preached the limited atonement. Now, he says on page 19, he said, now the only way up here in these spheres is that you could ever be in this little inside man. You have to be foreordained because you were with God. You're a part of God. I was in my father. I was in my grandfather. My grandfather's grandfather. Now, how in the world was he? You see, that's the beauty of understanding predestination. See? Of foreknowledge. To know that the human race is a carrier. And, of course, her idea was, well, listen, Deborah, she was a prophetess, and she judged Israel. That lets me preach. She said, hogwash, that's politics. Show me a woman in a priesthood. but she still couldn't take it. Then he said, now, look, he said she has got sons that took this message 100% right now, and he laid it down to predestination, to foreordination, which lets us understand categorically. But just the same as Isaac and Rebecca were carriers for one child that God loved and the other twin that God hated. So two people could be reprobate and bring forth pure seed of God. And pure seed of God could bring forth reprobates. Why? Because it lies in the genes. I've explained that, how the females, now some people tell you that the female carries only 250,000 eggs. By the time you number those little hair-like things in there, there's literally millions. The male sperm is by the hundreds of billions, I guess. And you can begin to understand when you understand genes and chromosomes. And I had the figures in here to show you couldn't have a true identical twin in one, in the odds against it. And there's no such thing as a truly, truly identical twin. Now, you can get them identical as far as man can know, but to be purely, truly, truly, that would be absolutely ridiculous. You can't have it. Well, that the chance of that coming is one followed by 9,031 zeros. Try to put that number in a computer even. Well, you could do it, but that's just where it'd go. It wouldn't go anyplace else. I'd like to see somebody tonight just sit and write me 9,031 zeros. How many do it for $5? That's the toughest $5 you ever earned. And before it's over, I'd give it to you, so I wouldn't have to count it. You don't think I'm going to stand around counting 9,031 zeros? Unless you box them all up and put them in thousands or something. All right. Now we understand then what he was saying. I was in my great-great-great-grandfather. By seed, I was in that. And I was in Christ. So therefore, Adam became the human carrier through the processes of the soul. Now you say, let's get a microscope. Go ahead, be my guest. I'm not biting on that one. Soul there. The spirit comes in. Then you got body, soul, and spirit. Then when a man dies, what goes first? Spirit goes first. Soul lingers. That's why you can bring a man back. You can bring him back. Otherwise, you're both gone. You could bring him back, sure. But that'd be tougher. You're in Christ before the foundation of the world. He came to redeem his own. His own that were in him. Hallelujah. His children that were in him. Now, you see what you're at. It's not the election of the spirit. It's the election of the soul. And that's what's down in there that gives the nature to the spirit being that begins to manifest out here. Now, there's all kinds of stuff out here, and it comes in you through this. And it can get to the spirit, and when it does, if the word is not down within the soul, then anything that comes to the spirit, it can pick up and instantly go for and utilize it. Now, he never came to save the devil's children. They will never know it. They were so shrewd in the ways of their intellectual learning that you can't compare with them at all. You can't out-talk them, but by faith you see it. Now, science doesn't need any faith. Science proves what you're talking about. It doesn't need any faith. The Catholic priests will tell you, look how long the Catholic Church has existed. Look how long she stood in the persecution of paganism. The Methodist Church said, look here how long. I saw a church talking about a hypocrite sign coming up the road yesterday. It said, Church of Christ, established in 33 A.D. Well, he said, it's not 100 years old, that denomination. Baptists tried the same kooky thing, said, we go back to John the Baptist. Well, if they go back to John the Baptist, they're shot. You better go back to Christ. They blew it right there. I wasn't in John the Baptist. But John the Baptist had better be where I was, or John the Baptist and I are the same kindred, which was in Christ. John the Baptist said, being 6 months older than Jesus, he said he was before me. How do you figure that except by election? Predestination in Christ. Now, oh, my doctrine of the apostles hardly got anything. You see, they say they got the apostles' doctrine. They speak where the Bible speaks. They're liars. Those spirit on them. You can't tell them anything. You can't talk. You can't reason. They go because it's beyond reasoning. Lean not to your own understanding. Faith doesn't reason at all. Faith believes it. They say, now look here. You believe we have to do these back here? Nonsense. In other words, go back to the beginning. But the Bible said, the Bible said so. I can't explain how it happens, but it happens. Now, God said so. I can't tell you anything about it. Faith doesn't explain it. Did you know that? Faith just believes it. But I'm going to tell you, faith is a revelation. You might not know how it's done, but you better believe what is done. Yeah. Then when it comes to the atonement, you better know not just what was done. You better know why it was done. Because if a man doesn't understand the sacrifice needed for sin, you're not going to have any blood around you. See? Now, so my understanding is this, that faith is not apart from a revelation, because the prophet said faith is a revelation. You have to know the promise. Let's bless God. That's a Lee Vale talking, not the prophet. But just saying these things. That you've got to know the promise before you believe it. Or you say, well, what do you believe? Oh, well, it doesn't matter. What are you talking about? You've got to be kidding. You might as well say, well, if that's the case, let me go in business with you. Put your wallet here with everything you got. And I'll sell you one rotten lemon for the whole thing, because it doesn't matter. You see, how do you figure that out? Well, if you're so stupid concerning faith, what does it matter? What you believe, then it doesn't matter what you get you give me for my rotten lemon. Because you got a rotten lemon faith anyway. You're not getting anything. There's no way to get anything. You have to know what you're looking for. Huh? Certainly. Abraham looked for a city that has foundation. That's why you've got to know about the rapture. You've got to know what you're looking for. Now, everybody gets fooled by that thief in the night stuff. See, oh, he's coming zap, zap. He isn't coming zap, zap. He already came zap. And now he's not zapping. Getting things in order. It's taking a long time. Sir, I know Israel had a bad time getting the promised land, but God never left him. Just stood back and watched. The day came when all that bunch died off, you took them in. I ain't saying nothing there. Jesus said to Nicodemus, from the ecumenical council of his day, who come to him by night and said, Master, we know your teacher comes from God, because no man does the things you do unless God be with him. He said, truly, except a man be born again, he can't even see the kingdom of God. And he said, me and old man enter my mother's womb to be born. And Jesus said, how am I going to tell you heavenly things when you won't even believe earthly things? Then he said, one day, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you got no life in you. Didn't explain it. Now, he never explained it, but we know what that's all about. Somebody has to know. Somebody knows. We know. Those apostles, those of that day who were ordained to life, he knew it. He knew who they were, see? He said, all the Father gives me will come to me. Only thing he had to do was make my voice known. And they'd know it. For my sheep know my voice. And the voice is the word expressed. That's good. But how can you have faith apart from revelation? See, he's not saying here now, Faith doesn't know anything. Faith knows plenty. Because faith is that which is revealed to you. Now, let's just take a check on the scripture here, brother, sister, because I'm just not going to talk through my hat. I get criticized all the time because people think I contradict the prophet. Let's just find out if I contradict the prophet. Now, it says right here, for what man knoweth the things of man, say the spirit of man that's in him, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now you're getting on to faith. See? So Brother Brand's not saying what... See, I know how people think. Like Brother Brand said, well, you don't have to understand it. So they come along and say, well... And then you talk to them, and you listen to what they do understand. Hogwash, crap, trap, and balderdash. Or worse than that. See, a voice is the word expressed. See, they believed it anyhow. And that's right. You believe those things in Scripture because you know that they are the Word of God. You do believe. But the point is this, until there is a revelation that has revealed to you what that actually is telling you, your faith goes nowhere. Otherwise, why have you got a prophet? I believe this book. I believe. What does it mean? Who cares? I believe it. Well, in just a minute. I got news for you. What you think is eternal life is not eternal life. It is the ages to the ages, and that's a period of time, and there is no eternal hell. Hold it, hold it, hold it. My teacher says eternal hell. Now what if you're wrong, and you don't believe the Bible? What does the Bible say? Why did the prophet bother to come? You can't twist what the prophet says here and throw this out, and the voice is the word expressed. He said, and they believe it anyhow. Certainly. Well, that's where he stands at the word. Whatever the prophet said, we believe, but we're waiting for the thing to break to us, for the thing to fall in order. There's lots of things I don't know what Brother Branham meant. But if I stand back and wait, the day comes when that word opens up to me. Now, you see, you don't have to scientifically prove anything. I don't prove anything. You don't prove anything. Revelation tells us. He said, I said it. They believe it. My sheep hear my voice. This is the voice of God in a letter form in the Bible. Because this is the entire revelation of Jesus Christ, Old and New Testament put together. And there you are. What else did he say? He said, this is Christ in written form. Now, if I get up and just read the Bible, that would be Christ in spoken form. Now, give me the revelation. See? You say, why? You say, these are good people. What makes them? Because one thing, their tie post is on the church. That's what trouble is. Remember last Sunday, we spoke in the anointing ones of the end time. Now, the first woman, she says, no, she don't give a hoot what the church says about what anybody else says. She's a smart duck. She got a college education. She puts it over her husband. She thinks she's smart by doing it. The other one was naked, blind, and don't know it. It's pitiful, but that's the picture the Bible paints. Now she goes to church, that woman. It would probably be better that the woman would be, and he doesn't say it. She lives a clean life. There's nothing against that. God will be the judge of it. I don't know. I'm not the judge. I'm only responsible for what he shows me. Now look at, if he's responsible for what is shown and what he knows, then he's the judge of that. You can't be a judge of what you don't know. You go to judge and say, now, what about this? He said, I don't know. I got to look it up. Now he says, I don't know about that woman having a clean life, what God will do about it. He said, I haven't been shown that. I don't need Bible that shows either. Now he says, I'm not a judge of that. I'm responsible for what he shows me, and he showed him body, spirit, and soul, and what made the women and the church the way it is. Now, he's responsible, and he judges that. Pardon me, he judges by it. Now, that's the apostle said. We speak what we know, what we heard, what we've seen. That's all I'm responsible for. That's all you're responsible for. Now, man's got to make a judgment. Now, they've already made their judgment. The women in our church can cut their hair. They can have shorts and slacks and wear men's clothes. They can wear paint and powder, which Brother Brand said there's no scripture against that, but it doesn't look too good. So you're going to let that one ride. Just take the scripture. She's not supposed to expose herself. Man's not either, by the way. Let's get that down flat. Men are beginning to expose themselves now, too. Women are coming as they can screech and holler and clap them on. Phew, brothers. You talk about a barrel of... I don't know. Barrel of devils. I guess that's the best word. I only ever called a barrel of monkeys, but why blame the monkey? He didn't start it. Man did. Now, see, if you take that same woman, where'd she wind up at? She moves right around. She's heard, no doubt turned the radio many times. The voice of God is spoken many times. Well, now she comes over to this cult here, a clan. All churches are clans, everything. Exactly right. They're just lodges where people gather together as a membership. And she comes over here. Well, that just fits her right. She likes that, see? Now, if you go telling her what she has to do, she won't listen. You're showing the Bible, she won't listen. Now, I want to ask you something. Why can't that woman see it? Why can't she? In other words, why is she blind? See? He's going to ask, why is she blinded? As far as living in adultery physically to her husband, she's not guilty. She has nothing to confess. She's as clean as the day she was born. No man touched her. I'm speaking parallel now to the woman, to the church. Here's your type in the church. As clean as the day she's born. That's exactly what the church is. As she was born. But she is born in sin, shaped in iniquity. I see the woman and the church is that way. We all are born in sin, shaped in iniquity. See? Now, you can be clean. You can show a good front. But there's still something wrong that's got to be dealt with. See? So see what I mean? You see? Now, what she does then does not make her a sinner. She's already a sinner. Now you tell her it's wrong to cut her hair. The Bible said so. Wrong to wear shorts. Bible said so. She would say nonsense. Why? Her ultimate is not down here in the third man, the soul that's predestinated and sent from God. But her ultimate is on an organization out here that some man has organized outside of this. But if the word of God is down in that soul, it says, amen, I see it. It lines up with it. Now that's what's wrong with that woman. See? That's what's wrong with the church. There's nothing in there. Now look here. Therefore, the man that's born of the Spirit of God. See, here's the outside flesh, that circle, see? Now I speak in a mixed audience, but I speak as your pastor brother. Here's the flesh, it's weak, it's bound to. A little lady walks down the street and some young man, just in his young age, 17, 18, 20, and he can be 13, 12, 14, and 15 today, when older women take him in tow. This is pretty good in Brother Bill's day, but you better nail it down where it is. They're not even in their teens, some of them. Walk around here and this young lady comes twisting every form of her body, walking with a pair of high heel shoes on, her dress stuck out and back and in front and back and dresses high above her knees, her pair of shorts on. Do you know the Bible said she'd act like that? You know, that's in Isaiah. The Bible said she'd act that way. Why? Because she's filthy. Did you read in this month's Reader's Digest, and he talks about the change of life. Then he says this. It's because of the hybrid food until the whole body is a bunch or a mass of corruption. Well, if the physical being is corrupted, isn't the brain cell in that physical being? Now, if he's pinning the whole thing down, everything is conspiring to work with God and against God. Now, watch the Spirit follow this. There will come a time in the name of the Lord that people will go completely insane. Now you've got a physical and a spiritual which have come together to produce insanity, which is a rampant spirit in the physical body doing terrible harm, or can do terrible harm to itself and others. They'll scream and holler. Great hideous things in their imaginary mind. Radios and things or television programs are producing it. See? That's what's wrong with them. There'll be such things as ants raised up on the earth. There'll be as high as 14 foot, as 14 trees. There will be a bird will fly across the earth with wings 4 or 5 miles across, and people seeing them, they will scream and holler and cry for mercy. But it'll be the plague. Wait till I preach on those plagues opening up. Now, he mentions that twice about those plagues, and over here in the next page, he mentions, wait till we open the plagues and the seals and seven thunders. Now, he told us already, though, this was preached in 1965, August of 1965, so 1 year previously, plus 1 month, no, August, exact month, it's August, it's, no, July is August, 1 month in year. The Feast of the Trumpets was preached on July 1964, and in there he said the plagues, the vials, and those things do not belong to us, so we couldn't preach on it. So the only thing I can understand here is, that it's under the seventh seal, which the sixth seal has already broken, and we're waiting for that portion of the sixth seal to yield that which we're going to miss. And he could preach on it, but God had not allowed him to do it. You can see when he went off the scene, he still hadn't done it. The last sermon that Brother Branham actually preached in 65 that closed his ministry was the rapture, which if you are in the rapture, it's over. So why should he preach beyond the rapture?
Amen.
You give me one reason. Well, I've got to know one thing beyond the resurrection. Just give me one reason why I got to know it. And I'll say, you're crazier than I am. Drop dead. You don't have to. If you made the first resurrection, you got it. Because you say, why? Because that's exactly what Paul wanted. Didn't say one thing about the rapture. But let's go further. If you got the shout, you got the resurrection. Which means you got the rapture. Completely insane. Let's go to Luke 21. I think I showed you this before, but you might have forgotten it. Luke 21:11, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, famines and pestilence, and fearful sights, and great signs there'll be in heaven. The word fearful sights is what Hippocrates, the father of medicine, called hallucinations. It's the same word in the medical that's in the Bible here, hallucinations. Brother Branham said they see these great big ants. He said they're not. They're not there, he said. They're screaming in their insanity. Okay, watch what Moses did. But yet he tells you how these physical things could still happen. And some will happen. Watch what Moses did under the physical being, not the spirit. When he said Moses, God said to Moses, go out there. Fleas, prophet, pick up a handful of dust, throw it in the air. Thus saith the Lord, fleas come upon the earth. There were no fleas. First thing you begin to see something crawl in the bush. Look over, there's something else. After a while, they're so deep you couldn't wade through them. Where did they come from? God's the creator. He can do what he will. He's sovereign. He can make a bird that will reach his wings from one side of the earth to the other. Now, is he going to do it? Where did he say he's going to do it? He said he can do it, but is he going to do it? I don't know. I haven't got one bit of scripture for that one. You use one side of the earth, the other? That would mean you have to have, what's the diameter of 8,000 miles? Why would God do it? He didn't say he's going to do it. But what I said about sovereignty is the truth. If you can't believe that God knew how many fleas there'd be, and how many times each one had batted his eyeball, and how many take to make a pound of tallow, you don't believe sovereignty. You're just kidding yourself. Then if you can't believe this, you're kidding yourself. Didn't say he will, but if you say he can't, you're mistaken. Who's to stop him? He said, let there come flies. And clothed upon all the earth, wasn't a fly in the land. First thing, an old bullfly began to fly around. And first thing, you're 8 or 10 or 12. First thing you know, he couldn't walk through. And God, the Creator, kept his word. Stretched forth his rod to command Moses and said, let frogs come on the earth. Pretty soon, 50 feet deep and so on. Frogs. Where did they come from? God did it. He said there'd be hideous sights upon the earth. He said hideous sights. Locusts with hair like women. Long hair to haunt those women to cut their hair. Teeth like lions. Finger in their tail like scorpions. Torment men for months. Just wait till we get to open those plagues and seals and those seven thunders. See, watch what takes place. Oh, brother, you better get to Goshen while there's time to get to Goshen. Don't pay any attention to this outside body. See? What you're looking at. You got to get down inside. Look here, there's a little lady twisting herself down the street. Here's a young fellow, eyes catch it. He's a member of the church. He's Pentecost, whatever he is. The first thing you know, there's no whole post in there. She says hello. He's got curly hair, kind of nice looking, straight, shoulder young man, maybe tried to live right. She starts walking up to him, even a preacher. First thing you know, what is it? This out here, the flesh desire, the spirit down there, anointed saying, don't do it. What'll it do? It'll move right around there. Hold, there he goes. First thing you know, he's trying to make a date with her. He's guilty of committing adultery, whether he touches or not. But a genuine born son of God. Amen. You can't do it yourself. Totally impossible for a red-blooded male to walk before a female like that without something taking place. When there is something on the inside, that little born again, something there. See that? In other words, the born again, that seed in there is anointed by the Spirit of God, joining you back. You have the strength of God. So that man might have shouted, talked in tongues and danced, everything else, anointed the Spirit, done all signs and wonders, said in there, by His Spirit, Jesus said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name, have I cast out devils in your name? Have not, He said, depart me, you that work iniquity. What is iniquity? Something you know to do and don't do it. Depart me, you that work iniquity. I don't even know you. The word iniquity in the Bible is actually lawlessness. And that's actually against the Word. So iniquity is anything against the Word of God. And people don't know better until the revelation strikes. And when the revelation strikes, they are responsible. If there had not been a prophet, this nation could have got away with it. But there's no way. They can't get away from it. This temptation this man goes through. What about this fellow named Bailey here in Springfield, the business manager? Went to Dayton and prostitute flagged him down and he opened the car door and was going toward a motel when a woman in plain clothes, a woman policeman, stopped them. So he resigned his job, 51-year-old man with grown children. So he said, you live in a fishbowl, you die in a fishbowl. Great philosophy. Well, I must say that that's quite a philosophy. Well, the Bible says every sin will be manifest. I'm sorry that the fellow had to take that route. But you see, the very thing that Brother Branham said, that's exactly right. The prostitute was there accosting him. Might as well, he figures. That's why that woman wears those shorts. She's a counter-prostitute, the same as the woman in the act. She doesn't know that that is a spirit. How does she know her ultimate? What is an ultimate? It's the last word. The ultimate is the amen. It's the end of all strife. Your ultimate. In other words, she's not born against you. If your church is Pentecostal church that tells you that long hair is just fanaticism, you got a spare tire in the back of your head, and so forth, those kind of things, the man's possessed of the devil. For the word of God said, it's a shame for a woman to cut her hair. She'll dishonor her head. If she dishonors her husband, and her husband is the church, and Christ is the church, she is a dishonorable religious prostitute. Naked and doesn't know it. Naked. The Bible said that the shame of your nakedness do not appear. In other words, at the time of the presence of Christ, if the church is branded a prostitute, she's finished. That's a divorce. I used to noise my wife, I don't noise my wife anymore. She's a prostitute to the Word of God. That's exactly 2 Thessalonians. Doesn't the Bible say a woman's covering is her hair? Isn't the hair given her for a covering? See? All right, you notice it right there. See, cut hair, indecent clothes, high heels, all worldly, proves the church is adultery.
because the women act that way. Shows where the church is. Someday yon is the judgment bar. Now listen, I've tried to pour the medicine in and hold it with my hands, and you spit it right back out between your fingers. God will judge them someday. That's thus saith the Lord. See, the word has already set judgment in motion. Now look, let's face it. It's already judged. But for the offense to be avenged, that's just started, and we'll go on at a future date. Someday you're on the judgment bar. I said that. Okay. A real, genuine Christian will cope with that man, with that inside man. That spirit that was back yonder at the beginning. Now notice he said it's a spirit. So therefore there is a spirit in here given from God that the Spirit of God comes back to. That's that word in there. You can't separate the two. In other words, the divine purpose of God lays right in there. You are the divine purpose of God. A genuine Christian cope with that man inside. The Spirit was back there in the yonder at the beginning, which is the Word. As He was the fullness of all of you, you were back, you were in Him back yonder at Calvary. He foreknew you would be here. He only broadcast what would take place. You were in Him. You died with Him. You died to your pride. Now notice what He's saying. You died to your pride. You died to your passions. You died to the world. Now that's your typo. In other words, it just isn't there. And you know something, brother, sister? If Brother Branham were telling a lie, this would not hold good. But you and I all know it's the truth here. Absolutely, there isn't one of us, when we are confronted with any kind of a temptation, with any kind of a trial, with any kind of a disaster, with anything at all, there's always a voice that said, hold steady, it'll work out just right, leave it. And what we do, we won't listen to that voice. And that's where the trial of our faith comes in. And then we got to go through hard places and heavy places, because we wouldn't listen. See? Who died with Him at Calvary and rose with Him, when He rose again the third day, and because you accepted Him now, you're sitting in heavenly places. Hallelujah. There you are. It's that inside man. See, down in the soul, then the spirit, then the body. See? See what happens? That body, with his senses, sees those things. The spirit inside moves toward it, if it's of the world, and that's all. And then that same spirit has got to go two directions. It's got to move down in the heart. That soul. And that soul looks at it and says, no way. And the spirit begins to come back, and the body begins marching in a different direction. Now, the one that hasn't got that tie post, there's nothing in there in the beginning. It doesn't matter what he does. The senses begin to see something out here. The spirit moves to meet it, and the soul inside says, whoopee! And they're off down the road. Just what he wanted. Now, it isn't that both aren't affected. Both are affected. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Standing up here, it always sounds like the man is the one that's the top dog, and the poor woman is some kind of a mess. Well, I'm going to tell you something which I happen to know, and you happen to know, and the women sitting here happen to know. Women can be just as aroused to passion as men can too. So therefore, it's not just a woman going down the street, and a woman just enticing a man. A man who looks like a good hunk of flesh entices a woman too. Works both ways. And they both better have the tie post. They both better have a tie post. It takes two to tangle. Now what we're doing here is we're talking about the church and the woman typing and running parallel. But I just don't like that anybody think that I preach or Brother Branham ever preached a message that simply downed a woman and put everything on her as though she was some kind of a hog pen, you know, and the male walked by on his beautiful giraffe legs mentally, you know, out smelling the roses. Ever since Adam. I don't care who it is. It's both male and female got to be in Christ or they're shot. There's no difference in Christ Jesus when it comes to the sex of either one. But when it comes then to ministries, that's a different thing entirely. But we're talking in a type. And women have gone to seed. Now then take the men as the husbands of the church. Where are they? Ha! They made it so she can sin all the more so they can sin with her. So let's put the denomination as husband. I'm not going to do that now because that gets off this message a bit. See? What's that man, the denomination of them? The Trinitarian club that beats a woman down. So she doesn't want to be a prostitute and mauled and messed with, he beats her down. The subjection is there again. So you see, we're talking in a type. Keep this in the type so that we don't get women thinking, hey, I'm useless, I'm this and I'm that fat. It's a lot of hogwash. The men are not without the women, and women are not without the men, and they are both in the Lord. What are you going to do? Something better than that? Come on. All right, it's that inside man. That inside will punctuate the word. Hang with the word regardless. You can't help it. I learned that many years ago. My little baby lying there dying. My wife dead, embalmed and laid out. They called me out there, Sharon dying. That's the hardest temptation I met in my life. About 25 years old. Walk out there and Billy Paul lying at the point of death. Dr. Sam came and said, Billy, I don't want you going to see Billy. He's so bad. Bill, I feel sorry for you. And he put his arms around me. I said, Doc, ain't got no more strength. Couple hours calling for my baby. Sharon ran out there and just to see her in spasms. Wouldn't stop. Put a needle in the spine. They punctured it. Brought up the sign. And it was tuberculosis meningitis. I weaved my way out of the hospital. Stopped my old truck out there and got it started. Stopped my old truck out there. Started walking down to the room. Here came Sam down the hall. Hat in his hand crying. Put his arm around me. He said, come on back, Bill. What's the matter? You can't see her. She's dying, Bill. No, not my baby, Sam. Yes. Don't even ask for a Bill. If she would ever live, she would be afflicted. She'd be drawn up and be afflicted all her life. She's got meningitis. Don't go around her. You'll kill Billy by doing it. Sam, I gotta see you. You can't do it. Bill, I forbid you. Now, you know how much you think of. You're my buddy, everything. How much I think of you and how much I believe in you. But Bill, you can't go to that baby. If you do that, meningitis is on her. She'll be gone in a few minutes. We'll bury her. I feel so sorry for you. I called the nurse and said, I don't see other man standing up. I want you to give him some medicine. So the nurse brought the medicine. He said, thank you. Set it down, threw it in the spittoon. And then he went over and he said, oh God, what have I done? You're a good God. Why'd you let her die, letting me holding her two little arms like that, begging him for her life? Why'd you let her go? There's Billy lying there dying, and here's Sharon is dying. What have I done? Tell me. Well, I might as well go with them. I opened the door, and no nurse was there. I slipped down the basement. The hospital, before the hospital was fixed, screens, no screens in the windows, hardly flies on her little eyes. Had a piece of mosquito netting, as we call it, put over her face. I shooed the flies off. She laid there, her little eyes. She suffering so hard till they were crossing. Then Satan moved over and said to me, did you say he was a good God? Yes, I said that. Did you say he was a healer? Well, why did your father die in your arms over there and you call him a sinner, calling for his life? That's how his dad died. Why did your brother die in your other brother's arms out there and you stand in the pulpit preaching a few weeks ago? Then he didn't answer you, did he? He said he loved you. He saved you. He couldn't tell me there's no God because I already saw him. But he was telling me he didn't care for me. And he said, there lays your wife. Your babies will be pretty soon with her. Your daddy's buried. Your brother's buried. Your wife's going to be buried tomorrow. And here's your other baby dying. He's a good God. He's a healer. You made a sap out of yourself. Why did you do it? You see, he was working from the outside now to this first man. You see, Satan was destroying faith through the senses. See? He said, now look, you know when you were a few years ago, two or three years ago, before you accepted this, you were well thought among the people. You lived a good, clean life. Any girl in the city who wanted to go with you would go with you because they felt clean and decent. I can't stand before any, and never saw her one, never said anything, never acted, if she acted smart, I took her home. And if you were like, and you were liked among the people. But what are you now? A religious fanatic. That's right, I was. See, these things began to move together. The outside reasoning, the spirit moving these together. That's right, Satan. Then did he say he was a healer? Yes, he said he's a healer. And you begging and crying, telling the people, and the people telling you it wasn't so that you're off the line. Your own people turn you out for this. Your own Baptist church put you down, put you out of the door for this very cause. Yes. Your daddy buried, brother buried, wife lying to be buried, your baby's out there 15 minutes longer, she'll be gone, and he's the healer. Your own flesh and blood, one word from him would say the baby's life, he's the healer, you said. The people tried to tell you. Their preachers told you, you're all messed up, you're all insane, you became a religious fanatic, and you said he loved you. Could he love you? And how you cried for your daddy night after night, fasted, and daytime, when you prayed to get up, pole to work, he fasting and praying, see, doing his job, carrying on, and he let him die in your arms as a sinner. And how your wife, a fine woman, how you loved her, Billy's mother, many remember Hope. What a fine girl she was. How happy we were. A little home over there. There was $7 or $8 worth of furniture. And Satan said, what furniture you had. But yet, you loved her. You loved one another. Didn't have much, see. You went and prayed for others. And some mental emotion, they got up, walked away, and said they're okay. But now your own wife. There she is dead. Second day now. Lying on a table established the Scots and Combs. She's a healer, huh? Your little boy at the point of it. Billy Paul, 18 months old. Little girl, 8 months old, lying there. Dying meningitis. And you just prayed. And God pulled a sheet down and said, shut up. Don't hear. Don't want to hear from you at all. Turn his back on you. He's a good God, huh? He loves you, huh? Every girl you ever went, every boy you associate, very best friends that walked away from a religious fanatic. Everything he was telling me was the truth. Everything he would say would fall right in line. See here, I was just then about ready to say that if that's the way he has to act, then I won't serve him. There was something come some from somewhere else. Way down in the middle it said, who are you to begin with? The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. You see the gene. See, that's the whole thing. See, that's that inside man. Don't reason at all. I looked back and I thought, how did I get on earth? I came from a bunch of drunkards. They were the carriers. See, they were the carriers. How'd they get here? Who gave me life? Who gave me my wife? Who gave me that baby? Where did my wife come from? Where did my life come from? I said, though he slay me, Yet I'll trust him. I said, get away from me, Satan. I laid my hand over on the baby. I said, Sharon, honey, I'll lay you on your mother's arms in a few minutes when the angels of God come to take you away. But one day Daddy will see you again. I don't know how it's going to be, honey. I can't tell you how. But when he turns his back on me, won't even hear for you. He let my wife die, and me holding her by the hands, crying for her. And my daddy in my arms died on this arm right here, looking up to me, trying to get his breath. I prayed as hard as I could. How could I face the public again? I preached divine healing. How could I preach he was a good God, let my own daddy die a sinner? How could I preach that? I didn't know how, but I knew he was right. The word of God shall never fail. It'll triumph, no matter what that is. Now I knew there was something on the inside of all these things, something inside of all emotions, everything else like that. There was an inside man that helped in that hour. Nothing else could have done it. Every reason, everything that they showed, everything proving it was wrong, and I was in the wrong, but the word of God was predestinated from before the foundation world, held on the inside. In other words, you listen to what's in that soul by the word. Now, someone would come along and say, well, look, I don't believe what William Branham said at all. Don't even believe he's a prophet. That happened to me, too. Don't think it doesn't. But you always go to the word. I don't care what a man experiences. I don't care what voices come to him. I don't care anything else. And I'm going to tell you something. That is the man that comes to the place where he sees this word and he knows as nobody else can tell him. And he knows in a way that he knows nobody else knows. And you say, well, that's smug. Call it what you want. I'm criticized now, and I'm open for further criticism, and I care less. And I care less. Yeah. A fellow wind goes to come through the building, her spirit went to meet God. Brother, sister, let me tell you that that is the only thing. Don't try to reason it out. Don't try to have long hair because I said so. Don't try to do these things just because in your flesh. Don't try to do it. Just to kind of cope up. But just wait before the Lord does something way down on the inside. Many of you think because you have long hair that means you're going to heaven. That doesn't mean that. Many think because you're good moral women you're going to go to heaven. It doesn't mean that. Many of you think because their churches belong to this and that great group of doctors of divinity. That doesn't mean that. See, many think but they speak with tongues. They got the Holy Ghost. That doesn't mean that. Though the Holy Ghost does speak with tongues. But until that real, genuine Holy Spirit in there will cope with every word. See, that's why it is not character. That's why it is not fruit. That's why it's not nearness to God. That's why it's not obedience. Right on down the line, there's only one thing it is. The evidence is coping with that word. See? And that word is tremendously strong, brother, sister. Oh, yes. Yeah. If that Holy Spirit in you makes you speak with tongues, look back there and doesn't agree with the rest of the word, then it's the wrong spirit. See? Now, just a minute. The word, that the tongues is of the Holy Spirit. But the voice that doesn't agree with the rest of the word is not the Holy Spirit. That man's got two. How in the world could you have two spirits and be of God? Can't. He can't do it. That's what he's trying to tell the people. That's what's wrong with the church and knoweth it not. They don't know they're anointed by the Spirit of God unto a complete deception. They're blinded to what is going on. They're blinded to truth. And so therefore the actions of the church are actions of immorality, and she's caught in her spiritual adulteries, of which physical adultery is merely the outward evidence or a sign of our time. Now remember, a woman doesn't commit adultery with herself. It's with the man. That's your organization, the priesthood. Now, in the beginning of the creation of God, God began to create, bring you into existence. You see, you started back there as a seed and worked down to where you are now, and then you were all in Christ. Then when Christ died, he died to redeem all of you, and you are part of this word. And how can the Bible... Now remember, part of the word is, whom he foreknew, he also predestinated. See, you've got to bring this into reality. Otherwise, you'll start thinking, oh, then the Lord put a spirit here, and the Lord put a soul here. Where were you? Then how could you be in your father's loins? Then if you only were in your father's loins, what did your mother do about you? Because she made part of that body. In fact, it was her chemistry. She supplied genes and chromosomes. Let's face it. I don't care what anybody says. That's it. Can't get away from it. I know how Brother Branham saw that male and female were one. Your mother was one with your father. There's no problem there. Not at all. You just got to see the complexity of the microcosm of the universe in a person, and yet the simplicity. You put it together, there's no problem at all. But that's not what God looked at. God looked at the formation. of a thought to be expressed. And he had to express it through a human channel. And the other thinkings of God, which were not ordained unto redemption as you and I, having not been in him, but were in his mind as an accessory. You will notice that the blood fell on the earth in order to bring back the earth. And the blood fell on the earth to bring back our bodies. And the same blood fell on the earth. I believe that's why animals are going to be in the resurrection. I believe a lot of things. Love believes everything. My love doesn't believe that hogwash they're trying to perpetrate on me. My love believes these goody-goodies that are coming forth in the resurrection. All right. And you are a part of this word. And how can the Bible, all of it, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Now, what if you're going to start with that and run it through the nations? Till you bring it down to the individual. Having come from the individual to nations. I'm talking to people now being lines and precepts. In other words, let's face it, a thought will be in a precept. And precepts will be in lines. Now we're talking about people. If you were a thought to begin with, then next you become a precept. We're talking to people. Multiplied. Then we go to lines. But remember, it when it comes to the individual in God, it will be the individual thought or gene that comes out of all. Now, all these ages have come down, and God has picked out his individual thoughts from the lines and the precepts. In other words, where God's doing the whole thing out here. And all of nature is in harmony. You see, all these things brought forth the way God wants them. Everything in a divine, common, unity perfection. But he picks them all at each one of his seeds. Come on out. Sheep hear my voice. They come out. So therefore, word comes to word. It's not, then you don't see precept forming to Christ. And you won't see the lines of people forming to Christ. You will see the individuals forming to Christ. And they, in turn, will form their own precepts and lines. I'm talking to church ages now. Not a mystery, not a riddle. I'm just liking it. Like a little bit of a simile there. Parable, whatever you want to call it. And then forming the pyramid goes up the median. All right. It's all coming together. Not one jot or tittle shall fail. Not one person misses predestination. How in the world can you, being part of that word, disagree with the rest of it or any part of it? Now you see, that's what he said about those women. They never had an ultimate. That was word-oriented. Their ultimate was creed and dogma. So what happened? It brought forth sin, because only the word can bring forth life. That's all. Certainly. Now, God bless your overtime. I didn't mean to do this, keep you that long. Sorry they kept you that long. And then he talks about a vision from that a man told him about from Oregon, Mr. Walker, how I'll ride this trail once more, which I am not going to read because that was Mr. Walker's vision. I don't know what in the world it's all about, even with Brother Branham, what he said. I've got an interest in Brother Branham's vision, only to the point where he tells us what it is. I'm not a person to explain visions. I'm not a person to deal with visions. I'm not a person to deal with dreams. All I can deal with, hopefully, and I trust I can, I trust I will, with the help of God, deal with the word as the prophet laid it out. So there you see, knoweth it not. The church does not know her condition. She's wretched, miserable, naked, blind, and completely unaware of it. Why? Because that spirit on the outside of the soul immediately catches all these things moving and throws them into a glare and into that which is very pleasing, never getting down in here. It can't, because there's nothing down there to get it. You see, look, let's face this thing. If you've got a rubber ball that inside is vacant, it's a hollow. All right, and there's a hole in it. And there's a drop of water constantly dropping near that hole. Water will get into the ball. But if you've got an India rubber ball, the solid rubber, I don't care if Niagara Falls falls on it, ain't no water going to get in that ball. Now, that's what I'm talking about. If that isn't in there, that gene of God, which is the thought, which is the word of God, when that word comes, I don't care if William Branham held their noses, which he did, tried the jaws open and used a force pump, and shum, they spit it right back. And there was nothing they could do about it. Because, you see, there was no little place in there for that word to go. It was an India rubber ball. I'm sorry. Now, come on, you know what I'm talking about. You just go ahead. And you find a ball that's got a wall in it. Now, you don't know there's a wall in it. And what if there's no way to find out there is a wall in there? What you do, you start pouring water in. There's a wall in there. That ball will fill up halfway. The other fill up twice as much. That's the way people are. Because as spirits on the outside, they can get a lot of things. But they can never get the correct division of the word. There's no way to get the genuine revelation. And without a genuine revelation, there is no genuine faith. Now we read the Bible, and the Bible said that God said to Abraham, I said, I want you to go. And he said, you are to go to that place there, and I'm going to give you that land. And now you go to the New Testament. The Bible does not say that. The Bible gives the revelation. Abraham looked for a city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. The Bible said, a young woman shall bear a child. And Brother Branham said, everybody, he said, the men and the mothers and fathers, they said, well, that's going to be my daughter. And they would go ahead and buy the bird's eye, said, which were the diapers and the booties and things, and lay them aside. Now, come on. Certainly there was, listen, that nation didn't, the men and women in that nation didn't believe that there would be a little baby born without male intervention, and every single man said, my daughter's going to be it. That'd be the best cover-up in history. That's that temple, that Vestal Virgin jumped from the temple. Come on, that's heathenism. But when it came time, the angel said, without a man. Now, how did Joseph feel? Did he say, listen, this girl that I'm marrying, yes, sir, this daughter of so-and-so, let me tell you something. She's the one the prophet spoke of, going to have a baby without male intervention. He said, honey, tell me the truth. He said, did you, didn't you? She said, no way. Oh, he said, my God, I can't believe that. Now, come on. Then why did God have to tell him in a dream? That's not true. So there you are. They get a revelation. Now, Joseph's heart was okay. Mary's heart was okay. She said, be it unto me according to that word. And soon as Joseph found it, he said, well, wonderful. He said, I never would have believed it. But he said, God said so. That takes care of it. Now, you see, you're getting to the place where we're really moving into revelation. The church cannot receive a revelation any more than that woman out here can. Because she's absolutely blind to it. There's nothing there that will respond to it. How'd you like to go to a brass statue sometime of a beautiful Venus with the arms? Say, come on, honey, throw your arms around and give me a kiss. You think that brass statue knows anything? She can't respond. That's what I'm just trying to put across. There's no way that the church can respond to this message. There is no way that anybody can have the rebirth in the Word of God, which gives you the truth of the rebirth. There's no way unless it was there in the beginning. And when you put it all together, you can understand serpent seed, you can understand everything. And then, brother, sister, you understand the just judgments of God. That's why there is no eternal lake of fire. That's why there is no unending punishment. That's why everything has finally got to come back to the original, structured in the divine beauty of God. It's got to. And it will. That's why there'd be nothing left of the other. And that, you see, if the woman could take it, then there'd be something left. No way. You follow what we're talking about? It's just laid out in the cards, predestination. They don't know it. Now, I know that should help us. It doesn't help me because I'm a fighter. Sold me the spitball, and I'll spit it out and throw it right back. You're sorry about that? I've confessed it hundreds of times, but nobody believes me, but it always happens. Even when I do it, they don't believe me. They say that can't be true, but it is true. But maybe my strength is dwindling down. My right arm may be not so powerful anymore. I think I'm winning that battle by dying more rapidly than usual. My brother Brand said, we died in Christ, and my death is not quite as sudden as it should be. But trying to get the picture to you, the church cannot receive it. There's nothing they can do about it. And let's face it, there is nothing we can do about it for them. And therefore, argument and dissension is not the answer. Neither is a pity which cannot be answered. It is to begin to understand and to take the stand of strength with Brother Branham, who said, I do not pray for America any longer. He didn't say he didn't pray for Americans. He said he didn't pray for America. Neither can you and I change the course of divine history. But since we do not know who those are who have that seed, it is our obligation to continually attempt to help and not to turn our advance against the enemy as though we're going to rout somebody, but our advance against the enemy is, as Abraham Lincoln said, he said, "I never have an enemy, I turn them all into friends." That won't work for you and me in the gospel. But we can try to win souls until it's all over. We can try to tell people the truth. But Satan, I know, would like to just stop us being effective by getting our little intra-wars moving amongst us until, as Paul the Apostle said one time, he said, "If you eat and devour, be sure that you don't be consumed one of another." And there is the possibility, brother, sister, it's always been true, that any message and any work could be brought down like a deck of cards, except for the hand of Almighty God stopping. There isn't anything that couldn't be brought down like a house of cards, but God won't allow. So just go on knowing that it's sovereign, it's absolutely in the hands of God, and we're a part of it. And out there, there could be somebody else that yet to be brought in. Someone else is going to come into the fold. It's our job to do what we can until nothing more can be done. So knoweth it not. The church does not know it, and you cannot tell. That's right. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for love, mercy, and grace which we find in you. And we're very, very happy, Lord, that we have your divine approval in our midst, O God, that we can not just come together because anybody can come together, but Lord, we come together over a word that a vindicated prophet brought. We do believe in vindicated prophets. We believe, Lord, that if you were not in this thing, then who was? And we, as far as we're concerned, our faith is built on nothing less, Lord, than an absolute revelation which has been vindicated to us. And by grace and mercy, Lord, and we are so happy for this, you allowed us to have open eyes. Not that our eyes were opened of ourselves because we were just as blind. But Lord, you in your mercy and grace had the eye salve handy and it was applied so thereby we can see. And it is all, Lord, just because of you. We do not see of ourselves. We know that because, Lord, we know there are things that we don't see yet. That they stand there and we realize that there are certain things that have certain questions to them, but we're not bothered about that, Lord. We are not oppressed by it. At least, hopefully, we can say that we have confidence that what needs to be shown to us will be shown to us. And we know, Lord, that your own word says the path of the righteous shineth more and more to the perfect day. We know the light has been increasing from the time of Luther until perfection itself has come. So here you are, and now we're in the light. And we appreciate that so much. May we never forget that. May we rejoice in it knowing that our light is not a creed or a dogma, but it is a revealed person, absolutely, of whom the attributes come forth, word given, until we know him positionally as we are known, and it is face to face. We appreciate that, Lord, we really do. And we appreciate the fact that that you haven't destroyed us and killed us out of hand, because the blood of Jesus Christ is here. Appreciate the fact, Lord, that you've made a way for us, and that way is operative. And we're very, 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 very grateful because we know that other than that, where could we hide? Where could we go? What could we do, Lord? As the psalmist said, though I take the wings of the morning, you're there. If I made my bed in hell, you're there. Where would I get away from you? Fleeing wouldn't do it. We couldn't get away if we tried to get away. But Lord, now we don't want to not only not get away, but we want to stand here in your presence and then feel right at home in your presence, to feel the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ, to feel the energy and strength of the Holy Spirit carrying us above the place, Lord, of enticements. Not that we cannot be tempted, but stand there with the joy and the victory of Christ in our soul, with greater manifestation of the goodness of God and grace of God in our lives. Lord, these are the things. You heard our prayer, Lord, tonight. And I don't believe for one minute, Heavenly Father, that's outside the Word. It is the Word that we're asking according to. And your own Apostle John, who explained all these things, said, if we ask according to your will, we know that you hear us. And that's right. Then if we know that you hear us, we know we have the petition. So we're standing here now, Lord, with you in your Word. And we're talking about a oneness of mind, giving back to you your very own thoughts.
Lord, what else can we do? And what else could you do except give us what we call for in this hour? And we call for it, Lord. We've got to have it all. We must have it all, Lord. There is no substitute. There is no backing away. It has got to be this, or some might say nothing. But I believe that's true, because one word off is Satan's kingdom. So here we are, Lord, for the full benefits, the fullness. God, be merciful. Keep us ever there. We trust you, Lord. We're counting on you, everyone in divine presence. And unto the King, eternal, immortal, the only wise God, him who is invisible, becoming quickly visible unto us, that great one, to him be glory and honor, because he is worthy, certainly, certainly worthy. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's sing, "We'll Walk in the Light."
Walk in the light, such a beautiful night. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of
we can say it, Brother Branham. We don't know how he's going to do it, but we sure know what he's going to do. He's going to get us out of here. Brother Branham said concerning himself, he said he didn't know how he's going to do it, but he knew he's going to do it. And that's good. You know, if you know you're going to get it, what does it really matter if it comes by UPS or the Postal Service? Now you say, well, it goes by Postal Service. I'm not so sure I'm going to get it. We're not dealing with Postal Service and UPS. I'm just saying, if we knew we're going to get a package, wouldn't matter how it came, as long as you knew we were going to get it. But we're dealing with God. He made a promise. His honor is at stake. It isn't just his honor is at stake, but a whole lot more is at stake. Here's a God who says he can back up his promises. He says he would. What kind of a God would that be? See, what it is really, the whole thing really has got to the place where it's gone so far that you couldn't get out if you tried. No way. It's gone so far that there is no turning back. There's none. See, it's not like Lot's wife. We're not Lot's wife. We're way, way beyond this. You understand that? It's when he said there, look, what does it matter how it's done, in a sense? It doesn't matter if we don't understand that. We just know that he made that promise, that he is here. He descended on this earth. He said he'd come right down to this earth. He's right here. I don't have to try to explain all that, although I got an understanding. I don't explain all that. I just know he's here. Well, how's it going to change? I think I know quite a bit of how it's going to be done. But really, if you said, hey, give us the formula, then I'll hold it. Ain't that smart? I can't tell you. I can't tell you, but I can tell you. See, that's what he was saying here to us. So the Lord bless you. Let's just take the name of Jesus with you.